I'm reading from the Amplified. I have the Living, but the Amplified and the Living together make this very, very plain so that there's no real reason for us to wonder. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord, as are the water courses, and he turns it whichever way he will. I want you to know that God is sovereign. If we can ever establish that in our hearts and really know that God is almighty, he is sovereign, he is in control. Nothing is going to happen that he couldn't stop, and nothing needs to happen that he can't initiate. Every king, every ruler, the Old Testament proves it over and over and over. Pharaoh's heart was in the very hand of God and turned the tide for the people. That's why we're here tonight. Is because the heart of Pharaoh, the mightiest king on the face of the earth with the greatest army that had been assembled at that point in history, but his heart was in the hand of the Lord, and God turned his heart to let our ancestors go through the Red Sea and bring us out of the bondage of Egypt. Every king in the Old Testament, look at Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Ahaz. Look at Ahab. Look at every one of them with all of the meanness that they did. Look at Balaam. Well, if you get me started on Balaam, brother, we'll be here till midnight. I love that story. The heart of every person that has any plan to do anything against God's eternal counsel, God will turn it as easily as you can turn a doorknob. Glory to God. Nothing is impossible with him. Now, each one of these verses are, you know, they're interrelated to one to another. They're not to any secrets of connection. There's no theme except right living in the book of Proverbs. There's enough material on each verb, on each verse, to preach a sermon. Spurgeon has many sermons on one verse of the Bible. All of his sermons are on one verse of the Bible. And you can read them and preach them. So there's no shortage of enlightenment and enrichment on any of these verses. But just know that God is sovereign. There's no ruler in the world today, there's been no ruler at any time that had one-tenth of the authority. They have none. They have none. God is in control. See, that's why we can rejoice, because we know it's going to all turn out all right. And we also know that God uses everything, works everything together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And nothing can stop that. Paul's confession in the latter verses of Romans 8 would make a stick jump. I'll tell you, if you can look at that and not get excited, he said, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. He said, peril, the sword, nakedness, famine, principalities, powers, things in earth, things above the earth, things under the earth, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If God be for us, who can be against us? Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs and tries the hearts. You know, we think we know what we're doing, but God directs us. And if he didn't, we'd make fools of ourselves and fall many, many times. We think we know what we're doing, but God knows what we're doing. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. You know, we know that over and over and over. Back in Samuel, obedience is better than sacrifice. You can never pay back. I heard preachers say this, and I'll never forget it. You can never pay back with sacrifice what you lose with disobedience. You need to write that down. You can never pay back with a sacrifice what you lose by disobedience. Yeah. A lot of my stuff's in that cookbook. I see. If you ought to buy a copy, that's the best cookbook I've seen, by the way. If you're a lady there or a gentleman that likes good cookbooks, that is the best cookbook I've seen, the one that Mabel Sell Group got together called Tried by Fire. Isn't that a good name? It is a wonderful cookbook. It makes wonderful gifts. Haughtiness of eyes, and here's pride again. We're going to run through this. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, even the tillage or the plowing of the wicked. Whatever it is sin in the eyes of the Lord. Let me just put that to you down where the goats can get to it. Pride of heart and everything that the wicked plants. Everything he touches is sin in the eyes of the Lord. A proud heart and wicked actions. The thoughts of the diligent tend to plenteousness, but everyone who is impatient and hasty hastens only to want. In other words, we have to take our time and do our work properly. Take our time and do our planning. Haste makes waste. Did you ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Securing treasures by a lying tongue is a vapor driven to and fro. Those who seek them seek death. You see, if you try to get something by dishonest process, by lying, plotting, stealing, it is to ask for spiritual death. The violence of the wicked will sweep them away because they refuse to do justice. How many of you know, I'm sure you do, the amount of violence and wickedness that's in our nation, in our world? But this nation, of all the nations blessed above all measure, how much we should be thanking God, how much we should be turning away as a nation from all the filth of the present time. But, you know, thank God the church is going to stay clean. As with Joshua, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How about y'all? I can't speak for my house, but I am. I'm telling you, there is no way to safety, to peace, to happiness, to joy, except in the Lord. The way of the guilty is exceedingly crooked, for the pure his work is right and his conduct is straight. Isn't that simple? It's better to dwell in the corner on the housetop than to share with a nagging woman. And you men say amen. This is true. This is true. This Amplified says it real well. Says, it's better to dwell in a corner of the housetop on the flat oriental roof. Now think about it. On a flat oriental roof, exposed to all kinds of weather. It's better to live outside in the rain and hot sunshine than to live in the house with a nagging, quarreling, and fault-finding woman. Well, let's move on. No. That's right. That's right. Nobody can find comfort living with anybody that fits there. The soul of the wicked craves evil, but his neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. You see, this wicked person is just looking for evil, and he can't see good. Oh, man, that is so true. And I want to tell you something, friends. When you can't see good in anything or anybody, let me tell you something. To criticize, to find fault with everything and everybody is building yourself up at the expense of tearing them down. And it will ruin your disposition. It will ruin your character. It is a dangerous thing for us to get in a position that we can't find good with anybody. Now, this is talking here about wickedness. But if we can find any favor, let everything be done unto edification. Let your season be salt, be seasoned with, let your speech be seasoned with salt. You see, we need to be very, very careful along those lines. This is a good one. When a scoffer is punished, the fool gets a lesson in wisdom, but men of wisdom and good sense learn by being instructed. You see, you can teach a wise man how to behave, a wise person how to behave. But a fool has to see somebody get in trouble. Isn't that amazing? When a scoff is punished, the fool gets a lesson in being wise. But you know, it's gotten so nowadays that there is no learning even in punishment. You know, people keep doing the same thing over and over again. That's why people are punished. That's why people are locked up. That's why people are executed, because of deeds. But the crime increases because lawlessness has taken over. When you take God out of government and God out of education, you'll have a lawless generation, and we're walking through one. But still and all, we are going to keep ourselves clean. Everybody has to make that decision for himself. The righteous man considers the wealth, the house of the wicked, how the wicked are cast down to ruin. Look around you. You see, we see, now there's another side to that. The psalmist said, my foot had almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So you can't always just apply this. But we know that what it is saying there, that wickedness and crime does not pay. We see ruin come from meanness and wickedness. Whoever stops his ears at the cry of the poor will cry out himself and not be heard. Well, that's true. I want to tell you something, friends. One, giving and helping people is one of the greatest gifts and opportunities that we have. There's another verse somewhere in Proverbs that says, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord. And we have a mandate to help one another. A gift in secret pacifies and turns away anger, and a bribe in the lap strong wrath. If we know we can do a favor to someone and we do that in secret, it does some help. A kind deed, whether you, and you don't sound any trumpets, you know, and broadcast it and say, look what I've done for you. But this pacifies wrath. When justice is done, it's a joy to the righteous, but to the evildoers, it's a dismay, calamity, and ruin. You see, a person of evil temperament does not want to see righteousness. He wants to see what he likes to see and the disposition that he lives in. The man who wanders out of the way of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the spirits of the dead. You know, it is part of human depravity to wander. There's an old song. I remember one time we were having house church, and we'd been talking about it. And the preacher, it was Galen Sawyer, was preaching, and he got up, and he quoted this old song. We've just been talking about it. This old song is, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart and seal it to the courts above. See, there is a wandering element in fallen humanity. Jesus said, anybody that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. It's amazing how the Old Testament and New Testament lines up together. But the wandering out of the way of the righteousness is a dangerous, dangerous thing for us to do. And you know, we can't stay in that narrow path on our own. See, we have to have the presence of God in our lives. We have to learn obedience. We have to learn submission. We have to learn servanthood. We have to learn to turn the other cheek. We have to learn to love the unlovely. We have to learn obedience to the commandments of God in order to keep on what they call straight and narrow. Jesus says, straight's the gate and narrow's the way. Well, that'll scare you, won't it? And few there be that find it. And of those that find it, so often there's a wandering away. You know, you see your children wandering away, and that's the most hurtful heartache that you can ever see, is to see somebody you love wandering away from the way of righteousness. He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich. Well, that doesn't need any explanation. You see, God is joy. This is a pleasure. This is the height of pleasure. But this is not our main thing in life, is to seek after pleasure. At a good time, our main thing in life is to seek after Him, and He gives us the pleasure. See, pleasure is not the object of our living. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. The wicked will be a ransom for the righteous and the treacherous for the upright, because the wicked fall themselves into the traps they dig, have dug for themselves. You see, you, if you dig a trap, you're going to fall into it. It's better to dwell in a desert than with a contentious woman. Well, there it is again. It always says women. There are precious treasure in oil and the dwelling of a wise, but a self-confident and foolish man swallows it up and wastes it. Well, we know all know the results of wastefulness. We look back and think how much money we've wasted and how much we've badly invested and what we bought that we didn't need. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He who earnestly seeks after righteousness, mercy, and loving kindness will find life in addition to righteousness with God and also honor. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Righteousness is the kingdom of God. Is not meat and drink. It's not where you go and what you wear. But it is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And it's ours. Bless God, it's free. Jesus paid for it. It's ours without measure. The wise man scales the city walls of the mighty and breaks down the stronghold in which they trust. A man with wisdom will not be tempted, will not look to any strongholds of any foolishness. A wise man will look to God and bring down any stronghold that might be a problem for him. Anything they trust, the wise man will know better. He who guards, oh Lord, here we are. Before fall, I'm going to find how many references there are to mouth, tongue, speech in Proverbs. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from troubles. How many of you are learning that? The hard way. The hard way. That is one of the most important aspects of Christianity, is what we say. What we say. It's really very, very important. The proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, deals in acts with overbearing pride. See, pride goes before fall. And the proud and haughty man, the scoffer is his name, deals and acts. And you've been around people like that. And it's absolutely a sin. Pride goes before fall. Let not any man think more highly of himself than he ought to. See, we are nothing and there's no difference in any of us. The desire of the slothful kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. That means he starved to death. I love that word slothful and diligent. Boy, I tell you, that's a strong, strong comparison. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not withhold. Be a cheerful giver. Shall I pass the basket? The sacrifice of the wicked is exceedingly disgusting and abhorrent. How much more when he brings it with evil intention? The sacrifice of the wicked is sickening, disgusting, and abhorrent to the Lord. You see, the Lord knows our heart. He knows our motives. He doesn't need anything that we give with a wicked, stingy, disgustingly selfish motivation. God doesn't need it. Just keep it. A false witness will perish, but the word of man who hears intently will endure and be unchallenged. That's truth and lie there, contrasted. A wicked man puts on a bold, unfeeling face of guilt, but as for the upright, he considers and directs and establishes his way with confidence and integrity. Self-explanatory. There's no wisdom or understanding or counsel that can prevail against the Lord. Oh, don't you love that one? Nothing's going to change him. Nothing at all is going to prevail against him. It doesn't make any difference what we think, say, or do. God is in control. Isn't that wonderful? The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance and victory are of the Lord. You can get all the tanks you want. You can get all the missiles you want. You can prepare the mightiest army in the world, but God's great. He's fighting the battle. Isn't that wonderful? Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Is that Psalm 20? Let's look at that just a minute. I think it's Psalm 20. I know it's not 22. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. Verse 7. Chapter 20 of Psalms. And verse 7. Let's look at verse 5. We will shout in triumph at your salvation and victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust and boast of chariots. And nations have, friends. Russia used to boast about all they were going to do, and they were going to kill us. They were going to destroy us. They were going to come on our land, and they were going to absolutely put the church out of business because they had the mighty armaments of warfare. And when God got ready to put the gospel over there, there wasn't a shot fired. There wasn't a person killed. There was no physical commotion. One day you couldn't, and the next day you could. And I'm yet to find anybody that can tell me what happened. God took control. And the young people from Bethany went over there and were singing, "This is the day that the Lord has made," in a city. In one of the Baltic states, in Estonia, they were standing in an open market square with old Lenin's statue right up there, looking down on them, and they were there singing, "This is the day the Lord has made." Now that is something. No, they toppled them. And you know, I saw that at Johnny's house. Tim Spurlock was one of them that was in that group. Wasn't he in that very first group? And I thought to myself, man, look at that. I got excited about that. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to see that? You know, I went to a meeting over there the first time we went to Russia. It was teachers and school people, superintendent of schools in that city was there. I don't know what his title was, but that's what he was, the head knocker in education in the city of Kaluga. And a lot of their teachers, and there were about 8 or 9 teachers in the group that went over there. And we got to share, and you know, and The old guy was in a hurry when we started. He was nervous and fidgety and wanted to get out of there. But, you know, he just softened, and he was the last person to leave there. And he was standing, I looked back, he was standing on the steps waving to us when we left. But I got up there to kind of take charge of the meeting. And when I got up, I didn't notice it when I got up and looked at it, but when I sat down, I looked, and behind me was a figure of linen. And I realized God had allowed me to do the same thing. And I sat there and looked at Psalm 33. And boy, a verse jumped out, and it never has jumped off me yet. It is still burning in me. Blessed is the nation whom God has chosen for his inheritance. Some trust in horses, and some trust in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are, those nations, linen statues, Russian armaments. They are bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. See, friends, this is why we need to pray for this nation. The Old Testament says, if my people are called by my name and humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal the land. So the destiny of the nation is in the hand of the church. Oh, Lord, give victory. Let the King answer us when we call. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to think about studying this?